Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik Tes. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we had a discussion that when somebody contracted to have a house built, a room built, what are the dimensions that the halacha expects? And we had learned in that shiur that when it comes to the height, we take the width of the room and the length of the room. We add them together, and whatever is half is the size of the height. And the Gemara said we learned that from the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara, Rav Chanina Nafik L'Kriyosai, Rav Chanina went out to the city, and Ramalei Kroa HaDodi, and he asked the following question. Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Melachim, as the Pasuk describes the Beis HaMikdash, Babayis HaShabana Shloim Al Hashem, Shisha Amma Arkoi Vasrim Rochboy Vishloshim Amma Kamasai. The length from the entrance of the Kodesh Kedoshim till of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh, until the back was 60 Amas, 40 were for the Kodesh, 20 were for the Kodesh Kedoshim, and the width was 20 Amma, and the height was 30. So if that's the case, that was the dimension of Beis HaMikdash. V'ksiv, but yes, asked the Gemara, there's another pasuk, l'fnei dvir, in front of the dvir, before the Kodesh Kedoshim, esrim amar oirich, the Kodesh Kedoshim, was esrim amar oirich, esrim amar roichav, esrim amar kamasai, 20 by 20 by 20. So asked the Gemara, we have a stira, we have a contradiction, how tall was it, 20 or 30? Answers the Gemara, Amalhu, so respond the Kika Choshev. When the Pasuk mentions that the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20, the reason it's mentioning that it was 20 because Misfas Kruvim Malamala, as we're going to learn quite extensively now, there were Kruvim on the two sides of the Aron HaKodesh, and they extended 10 Amos tall. What the Gemara means to teach us is that the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 Amos above the Kruvin. Ask the Gemara, my Kamash Malan, why is the Pasuk mentioning the height, ask the Gemara, from the top of the Kruvin, not from the floor? Says the Gemara, Kamash Malan, what the Pasuk is trying to teach us, the matter that the 10 lower Amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim with Kilamala, Mala Mala Imashamish Kulam, above the Kruvim, it was empty space. Says the Gemara, Aflamata, the area on the bottom, Imashamish Kulam, that means that, as we're going to learn right now, the Kruvim did not take up any space. And says the Gemara, what does that mean? Mesailele Rebbe Levi, this is what Rebbe Levi taught us, Dom Rebbe Levi, Vitema, Rabbi Yochanan, Davazav Sarfi Yedem Avasenu. We have this tradition. Makam Aron veKruvim, the space of the Aron and the Kruvim, Einam and Amida, don't take up any space. And many Mefarshim try to give explanations why. The Mashal explains because that's the place where we had the Shechina. That's where we have the Aron HaKodesh. That's where we have the Shechina. And therefore, just like the Shechina is not a physical thing, something physical takes up space, the Kedusha, the Shechina, doesn't take up any space. It's along the line of what we know, Meloi Chol Oretz Kvoidoi. The Ben Yoyada says that the Oren, as we just discussed, is the place where the Torah was kept. And what we're learning from here is, says the Ben Yoyada, that anything that's spent for Torah doesn't really deplete our finances. And just like the Oren didn't take up any space, anything that we do for spending for Talmud Torah doesn't in any way affect our finances. Based on the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara Masechet Beya, the Tav Zayin Amud Aleph, that says, "Kamazon Aisuf Shaladim Ketzuv Aleim Rosh Hashanah VaYom Kippurim." During the first 10 days of the year is when our panasa for the entire year is determined. Chutz Maitzah Shabbos Maitzah Yontif, except what's expended for Shabbos and Yontif, that doesn't count. And that's why the Aron, says the Gemara, didn't take up. That's why the Aron, the Gemara says, did not take up any room. And the Tver Shleima, he has a different pshat. He says that the Torah is teaching us that Aron in the Typhus Mokum means that a person who is not Typhus Mokum, a person who doesn't consider himself important, that's the Mokum Aron. Where do we find the Shechina? We find the Shechina by somebody who doesn't consider himself of any importance. The Brisker Rav has a lengthy explanation. He says, over in the name of his father, he says, we know Shloish Ksarim Heim, the three Ksarim, Kesa Kahuna, Kesa Malchus, and Kesa Taira. Kesa Kahuna belongs to the Kohanim, Kesa Malchus belongs to the family of David HaMelech. But when we speak about the Kesa Taira, the Kesa Taira is available to all of us. As the Pasuk says, Taira Tziv Alon HaMoshe, May Rosh HaKilas Yaakov. The Kesa Kahuna is here for anyone to have, to use it. And he goes on to explain that these three Ksarim that we just mentioned are found in the Beis HaMikdash. There was the Keser that was around the Shulchan, which is the Keser Malchus. There is the Keser around the Mizbeach HaKtiris, the Zer Zov, which represents the Keser Kahuna. And then there's the Keser Torah, the Zer Zov around the Aron. And what the Torah is teaching us is that the Keser Torah, the Makam Aron, ain't a tough smokum, doesn't take a space. Meaning that everybody has a right to access that Keser. It's ready there for anybody who's prepared to take it. Another explanation that I saw from Moshe Feinstein's Zitzal in the Sefer Drash Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically gave the Torah to people who have gashmius needs to teach us that our gashmius needs don't contradict our ruchnius. We're supposed to use our gashmius for ruchnius. And that's what he says, the makam kruvim, enam and amida, they don't take up any space. Even our needs of gashmius, which are physical and take up place for in this world, they don't take up any place when we speak about what we're doing with our gashmius is to serve the ruchnius. The Sefer Yaakov Eliezer explains, Chazal teach us, ain't a bracha mitzuya, we don't find bracha, loy b'dava ha-shokel, loy b'dava ha-modet, something that's weighed, measured, el v'dava ha-sami ben aminayim. Bracha is only found by something that's not really something that we look at. So he explains that whenever we speak about gashmias, then it has a size. Everything in this world takes up a certain amount of space. Everything in this world has a specific size. But bracha, he says, represents ruchnius. And when we speak about bracha, and we speak about ruchnius, what Chazal are teaching is that enam in amida, enam in some mind, doesn't take up any space. And that's what the Gemara here is teaching us. That the Aron, the Torah, which represents bracha, enam in amida, it's not limited to any space. It's lamala from any space. It's above any of the limitations of space. The Ksav Sofer explains that the lesson over here is just like the Luchas, just like the Torah, the Aron, doesn't take up any space. So when we think about the Aron not taking up any space, that means it doesn't need anything. It has sustenance from the Ruchnius from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, a body of a Talmud Chacham, which is not really very different than an Aron, because the body of Talmud Chacham is where he stores his Torah. That is a place that is like the Aron. And just like the Aron doesn't need to take up any space, it's above all of these limitations. Talmidei Chachamim, don't have any of these limitations that the space in the world, the dimensions of the world take up. Says the Gemara, Tanya Namehachi, Aron Shah Samaisha, when they put the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash that Shlaima built, which as we said was of the dimension of 20 Amos, so the Aron takes up space. Says the Gemara, after, as much as we can explain this in physical terms, after they left the Aron there, Yesh Lei Revach Av Es Amos L'chal Ruach V'Ruach, there was still space left on all the sides, meaning that the Aron did not take up any space in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav Noi, Amar Shmuel, Kruvim B'nei Sa'imdim, the Kruvim that we spoke about stood with a Nes. Shnema, V'chomish Amos Knafa Kruva Achas, V'chomish Amos Knafa Kruva Shenis, the length of the wings of these Kruvim were 15 Amos, Es Amos Mekzoyis Knafav Atzoyis Knafav, that the length of every wing was 5 Amos, and together they were 10 Amos. And then the pasuk goes on to speak about the Kruvim themselves. And the Kruvim asked the Gemara Gufay, where was the room of the Kruvim? If the Kruvim took up 5 spaces, and the length of each was 10, so together it's 20 Amos. So if it's 20 Amos, the whole width of the Aron, the whole width of the Kodesh Kedoshim was 20 Amos. And the way many Rishonim explain the Gemara is that we have a rule throughout Shas that you need more room than the width because you have to have room to put it. And Tosfos explains that the Gemara, part of the Gemara's question is that if the Kruvim took up 20, how could it sit in a room that's 20 big? Says the Gemara. Who says that the Kruvim touched each other? Maybe the Kruvim, the wings didn't jut out. They started back from where the body of the Kruvim began. Or Maskula Reva, maybe they overlapped and they didn't need that much room. Maskula Rachbiyakov, maybe they stood in a diagonal, again not overlapping. Maskele Rav Achabrei Yeshua, the Dima Beis Meloy Ravchi, the Kruvim, the wings, were 10 Amos above ground. And when we speak about the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim being a width of 20, we're speaking on the floor, but higher up maybe was wider. Maybe they weren't completely straight out. The part of the tip of their end of the wing tilted in, bent in, and therefore doesn't take up so much room. Maybe the wings were resting one on top of the other. And again, if any of these were the way that the Kruvim was situated, we're not taking up too much room. Says the Gemara, Ketzer Ha'emdim. So the Gemara brings a brisa that how did the Kruvim stand? Rabbi Lazar, I'm a Pneim Ishawachiv. They were facing each other. The Charamar Pneim Labais. The Kruvim were facing the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Gemara, well, Amanda Amar Pneim Ishawachiv. According to the opinion, says that they were facing each other. Ask the Gemara, doesn't the pasuk explicitly say ufneim lebayis that they were facing the wall? So how would we be able to reconcile the pasuk? So the Rashbam points out that the pasuk in the pasuk that says ufneim ishalachav regarding the kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu made, they weren't the same as the kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made. The kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu made were put on top of the aron. That the Kruvim that Shlomo made were put on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Pasuk of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Pasuk of Pneim Labayis is referring to the Kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made. And now the Gemara says that, so says the Rashbam, but it makes sense that the Kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made was similarly situated to the Kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu made. How do we reconcile the psukim? One pasuk says that they faced each other, and the other pasuk says that they faced the wall. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Kam bezman sheYisrael oisin ritzayin shalmakam. When Klai Yisrael do as they are supposed to, so the kruvim face each other, representing like the hava, the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klai Yisrael. The kruvim represent a young boy and a young girl that are facing each other, and that represents the special relationship, like the male and the female that exist in a married couple. That's kaviyochel, the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klai Yisrael. Kam bezman shein Yisrael eisen shoyin shemakom. When we're not doing what we're supposed to do, then they don't face each other. Ask the Gemara, Olman dam apnein labayis, that they never faced each other. Ask the Gemara, but there is a pasuk, although it's a pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, as we said, but the pasuk still explicitly says, ufneim ish alachav. Answers the Gemara, the pasuk that says ufneim ish alachav doesn't mean that they directly faced each other. The mitzadid at studi, they sort of turned away from each other. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Unkel Sager Omar, Kruvim Mas Tzumheim, the Kruvim look like the face of young children. Umitzdodim Peneim, the sort of facing away. Ketalmud Aniftim Rabbi, just like when a Talmud leaves his Rebbe, he walks backwards and he doesn't look directly at his Rebbe. So too, says the Gemara, was the way the Kruvim looked. They didn't exactly face each other, and that's why the pasuk that says Ishalochav on one hand, and the pasuk that says that the name Alabayis, both psukim are correct. They didn't directly face each other, and they didn't directly face the wall. They were sort of on a slant. So I saw that many pshatim in this Gemara. The Gemara in Masechta Makis, the Fiyura teaches us, Om Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Maidik Siv Chelev El Abadim V'naru El Tzavrei, says the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that the Pasuk is criticizing Talmidei Chachamim who learn Torah bad babad, that they don't learn Torah together, they learn individually. And that's Pshat in the Gemara. When people who are learning Torah, the Kruvim represent people who are learning Torah. When people who are learning Torah face each other, that's Ritzayin Shalmakam. People, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants that people should study Torah together. When they don't face each other, that's when they're not learning Torah together, then that's Enos Ritzayin Shalmakam. Along the same pshat I saw, that when people care about each other, and they look at each other, and they look out for each other, that's called Oysen Rechayin Shamakam. The faith, when they're concerned about each other, that's when they considered that they're Oysen Rechayin Shamakam. When they're not looking at each other, then it's considered, and they don't, one person doesn't care about the other person, then that's considered Ein Oysen Rechayin Shamakam. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But many Mefarshim ask that the Gemara Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis says, when the Nachrim entered the Beis Hamikdash, ro kruvim hamurim ze beze. The kruvim were facing each other. So, of course, many mefarshim ask, of course, when the Nachrim entered the Beis Hamikdash at the time of the Churban, represented a time that Klal Yisrael were ein oisim mitzvah shemakim. We were not doing what we're supposed to do. So, why were the kruvim connected to each other? So one pshat that I saw is that if a father needs to criticize a child, if a father needs to tell a child to do better, to do different, we don't look at that as a lack of love by the parent. On the contrary, the way that should be viewed as the greatest love. The parent is concerned about his child, and if he has to punish him, he's punishing him out of love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us into Golus, and it's a time of bad time, and it was a time where Klal Yisrael were not behaving the way it was supposed to behave. But it should not be viewed because there's a lack of love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. We said before that many Mefarshim explained that the Kruvim looking at each other represents the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us to Galus, it's a demonstration of his love to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, at that time, the Kruvim were looking at each other. I saw along the same line that Babich Reb Zatzal says that, what is the point of Galus? So he says, superficially, we look at Galus as a punishment. He says, and of course it is a punishment, but it's really a preparation for Gula. When we are suffering from a hestaponim, when we're suffering that we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of his glory as we would like to, what does that do? It spurns us to do better. And therefore, since it spurns us to do better, Galus becomes the preparation for the Yeshua. And therefore, when they went into Galus, the Kruvim were facing each other. The Chassam Sofer has a whole different approach to this Gemara. The Chassam Sofer suggests that there were two sets of Kruvim. There were Kruvim that were, as we know in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were put on top of the Aron, and they're the Kruvim that we're discussing in our shir, which were the Kruvim from Shlomo HaMelech, which those Kruvim were put on the floor of the side of the Beis HaMikdash. Suggest the Chassam Sofer that what the Gemara means to teach us is that there are two types of people who are connected to the Torah. There are those Kruvim which are actually on top of Darin. Those are the Loim Dei Torah people who are actually learning Torah. And then he says there are Kruvim that are on the side of the Aron. Those are the Kruvim that are the supporters of the base of the Torah. And both of them are needed for the support and the continuance of learning Torah. That there should be a continuation of learning Torah. There should be a continuation of learning Torah in the world. Our Mishnah and Gemara have very much discussed how the Beis HaMikdash looked, how the Aron looked, etc. And there's a discussion by many Paiskim how a Beis HaKnesses is supposed to look. And the Ramah says that the way a Beis HaKnesses is supposed to look is that, this is in Chayshe Mishpat Simikuf Nun Sif Hei, that the Aron is in the middle. So he says, from here we see that just like the Kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech said, we learned in the Gemara, were fashioned to a similar way that the Kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu made. The lesson from this is that we're not supposed to change. Shlomo HaMelech built an entirely new Beis HaMikdash. But the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, he used as a model the Beis HaMikdash that the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made, to say that the Tzura, the design, has to remain consistent in all times, says the Mishnah. So our Mishnah discusses the situation, says the Mishnah. Somebody has a pit of water that's inside somebody else's property. And the way the Tosfos Yontif explains the Gemara, explains the Mishnah, is that we're referring to a situation where somebody, where we have Yarshim who inherited a home from their father, and you have the home, and you have the bar. And the way they divided the Yerusha is that one gets the bar and one gets the home. Or another example that Tosfos Yontif gives is that these people owned this area together, and because they owned this area together, they were partners that owned it together, and now they divided up this asset, this place, one getting the bar and one getting the home. Because, explains the Tosfos Yontif, were we to say that the case of our Mishnah is that somebody bought the rights to the bar, it would open up a discussion that we've already had previously in our shiurim. And as discussion, Machlokes Rekiva and Rabbanon, Moicha ben Yafa Moicha, Moicha ben Ram Moicha. And according to Rekiva, the person who bought the bar is entitled to a path to get to his bar. According, because Rabbi Kiva says Meicher ben Yofa Meicher. The Rabbanon hold Meicher ben Ram Meicher, he's not entitled. So that opens up all types of different questions that we've learned previously in a Masechta. So in order to avoid those questions, the Tosfos Yontif says that the case is as we just explained. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Mishesh Lai Bor, Lofnem Ebesish Chaveroi, and this person wants to access his bor. So says the Mishnah, Nichnas Bishar Shadark Ne Adam Nichnasim. He only has a right to walk through the home at a time where people, where it's normal to walk through a home. The Yotzin, he can walk out, Bishar Shadark Neitzim, that he only has a right to walk at a normal time. And as the Rashbam explains, it's self-understood that when he bought or got the rights to the bar, he only got it, it was understood that he only got it in a to be used in a normal phase, in a normal place. And certainly to walk through somebody else's home in a differently than not in a time where people are expected to walk through other people's home, certainly wasn't expected. And that's why the Ritva points out that our Gemara is, as we, our Mishnah, speaking about a bar. So a bar, the expectation is that you would access your bar in a time where people use their bar. But let's say I own a room, or it could be I rent a room in somebody else's home. So there, says the Ritva, the halacha would be very different. Because there's an expectation that people go into their room at all hours of the day or night. And therefore, since people go into the room all of the time, so the expectation is that he could go during the night as well. And the Aruch HaShulchan explaining the Mishnah says, when the Mishnah says by a time, it doesn't mean just by day. It means in normal times where people are, where it's acceptable to walk through somebody else's house. So, nechzim b'shav shadarach b'nei adam nechnasim, v'yotz b'shav shadarach b'nei adam yotzim. V'ein ha'machtis behemtoi, he can't take his animal through somebody else's home or mashkim b'bari to give it to drink. Al-mamala mashkim b'chutz, he has to fill up a pail with water and take it outside the house and like that give his animal liquid water to drink. And then says the Mishnah, v'zeh oysa p'sachas, the person who owns the bar makes a lock that to make sure that nobody takes water from the bar without his permission. And the owner of the house makes a lock that he should not be able to go into the home. He should not be able to go into the home in a time where there's nobody else in the home, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, because there's a concern of how about the person's wife being there. Ask the Gemara Psachs Lahecha. We just discussed the lock. What does the lock mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Balabor. The purpose of both locks are for the pit, for the water pit. Ask the Gemara Bishlam Balabor, Boil Shturi Mai Debori. So he says, we just explained, the person who owns the water pit is protecting that nobody should take water without his permission. Ask the Gemara, El Balabais Lamalei, why would the Balabais need a lock? To which the Gemara answers, Amr Balaza, new concern. Mishum Chshad Ishtai. People see that this man is constantly walking out into this other person's home, and they're going to think that maybe something inappropriate has happened between this man and this person who owns the home's wife. So, and the Torah Kedoshah says, the Yisam Nekim Hashem Yisrael, we have to go out of a way not to do things that people should not come to accuse us. And therefore, not that we're saying that he did anything wrong, but we have to go extra mile. Some Rishonim, however, say that the concern is not just because of Chshad. The concern is because this man is constantly in that person's home, that therefore we're concerned that they may end up doing something wrong. But the Rashbam has a different pshat, that the concern here is not about people doing something immoral. Rather, the Rashbam's concern is that if I'm going to be walking through your home to get to my bar, and nobody else is at home, so I may take something, I may steal something. So therefore, there's a lock to the home, and what the lock to the home accomplishes is that I can never enter your home without somebody there making sure that I don't take something that I'm not supposed to take. Continues the Mishnah. The only way for me to enter to my garden is to walk through your garden. So says the Mishnah, I could only walk there when it's a normal time that people walk there. I could only walk there in normal hours. Furthermore, the person who has the inner garden, so I want to sell vegetables from my garden, I'm not allowed to bring brokers or people who want to buy my vegetables. Rather, what I have to do, I should, because I only got permission to walk through your garden to get to my garden when I have no other way to get to my garden. But if I have another way to get to my garden, I have no right to walk through your... If that isn't the purpose of walking, then I have no right to bring people through there. Furthermore, I shouldn't use this road, this path that I have right to walk through your house as a shortcut to get somewhere else. Because I only have a right to walk through your home when I have no other way to get to my garden. That's the only permission that I received to walk through your home. Now the question is, so we have this path that I have to walk through your garden to my garden. Who has the right to plant on that path? Says the Mishnah, Achitzin Zareis HaDerech. The person who owns the outer garden where this path is has a right to plant there. And the way I saw the Rishonim explain this Gemara is because when the person who owns the outer garden, and I have permission from him to walk, and permission very possibly was something I had to pay for, but when I got this permission to walk through, it doesn't mean that the owner of the garden gave up his ownership of that place. He, of course, still owns that place. And since he owns that place, he has a right to plant there, and as long as it doesn't interfere with me being able to walk to my garden. Says the Gemara, Nos loy derech min atzad midashneim. So says the Gemara, if Bezdin intervened and he gave the person who owns the inner garden a way to get through the outer garden, midashneim, they both agreed that this is the way he's going to get to his field. So since it was given not through the field, it was given on the side, what does that mean? Says the Mishnah, means to say that he got much more access to his inner garden. And therefore, Allah is nichnas b'shar shiroitza, v'yoytza b'shar shiroitza, u'machzaz toich ha-tagrin, he could go and come as he pleases, v'loykonis b'toichla, v'machzaz toich ha-tagrin, he could bring merchants to show the vegetables that grow in his field. However, he still may not use it as a shortcut. That isn't what Bezdin meant to give him. And furthermore, since Bezdin intervened here, so here the halacha is, neither of these people can plant there. And because Bezdin gave them equal rights on this property. And the rights are that neither could plant there. A field that needs constant irrigation, rainwater is insufficient. And somebody says, I'm selling you a place in the field that you could dig out a canal that the water should be able to pass and irrigate your field. So says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, he gives him the width, this is the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara, the width of the canal is 2 amma, v'amma mikan, v'amma mikan, and then an amma on each side of the canal, like a fed, that they should be the banks of the canal, that if there should be some sort of something that comes up in the canal, for example, the water isn't able to pass through and you have to be able to dig, to stand on the bank and work and dig out that canal, fix it, then that's where you're going to be able to fix it. I, however, saw that the Rashbam brings another pshat, that the Rashbam says another pshat means that he that we're not talking about the width of the canal at all. Rather, what we're referring to here is the banks, that each bank is, each side of the canal is 2 amas wide, and then on top of the bank being 2 amas wide, you get another amma on the side of this bank, that in case you need to do anything on the bank, you have where to stand to fix it. So again, we're learning the simple pshat. You get 2 amas to be the width of the canal, an amma to each side, lagafeha for the sides of the canal. Amma besakilan. Somebody says that I'm giving you a place where you could draw water. Animals, you can have water for your animals. They used to wash clothing that way. Amma besakilan in meichloch. Noisa amma achas l'toichoy. The width of the water should be 1 amma. V'chatzi amma mikan. V'chatzi amma mikan lagafeha. Here, the sides, you're only entitled to a half amma, because it's not being used, this is not being used for an irrigation canal, so you don't have the same needs. And now, ask the Gemara, we've been speaking about the banks of the canal. So again, ask the Gemara, who is considered the owner of those banks, that they have the right to plant on those banks? The person who owns the field has the right. Bashmul Amr Balsada Noitam. He could plant, has the right to put trees there. Says the Gemara, Mandam Azaram, the person that says that you could put vegetables there will certainly hold that Noitam, because it takes a long time for a tree to grow. So vegetables immediately pop up. The tree doesn't happen immediately. Or Mandam and Noitam Avazar Loi. Because what the vegetables do, they grow all over, and they prevent me from standing there and being able to fix the canal, and they also go into the canal, those vegetables, and they prevent the canal from watering the field properly. Somebody has this canal, and now the banks of the canal fell into the canal. He's allowed to take earth from that field to fix that those banks. Why? Because where did the earth of those banks go? They're in that field. So since the banks are in that field, that's why you're allowed to take that earth, which is really yours. Ask the Gemara. Maskalar Apapa Vilemale, why can't the owner of the field say to him, Maya Ashpiluch L'arich, your banks, the earth, fell into the canal, but they're not in the field? Elam Rapapa, says the Gemara, correct. That's a fair question. So if that's the case, why is this person allowed to take earth from this other person's field? Says the Gemara, because Amanas Cain, Kivala Balasoda, when they made this arrangement, he says, and the Gemara is saying that a part of the arrangement was that should the banks collapse and you're going to need to get earth to fix them, you could take it from the field. That's included in this arrangement between the Balasada, the person who owns the field, and the person that was given the right to create a water canal with the banks on the sides of the water canal.